Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to the Milwaukee Basketball Hour, presented by Hupie and Abraham and featuring Steve Novak.
With a three, oh, that may seal it right there. A big-time Brogdon triple.
Now, here's Steve Novak and the big unit, Bill Michaels.
First for the next Milwaukee Basketball Hour. Steve Novak is here. I got a question for you because I haven't done the show with you since last year.
It's good to see you. It's good to be with you.
So, you know, like last year was really the first year of the show, Milwaukee Basketball Hour, featuring Steve Novak, presented by UP and Abraham. So, like, you had a year, right, to build. So how did you not get a chance just to the Steve Novak show for year number two? Instead of the Milwaukee Basketball Hour featuring Steve Novak, why not just call it the Steve Novak show?
Well, it's been I'm a role player, Sparky. I've always been a guy who likes to have a star like you. And I was a 95% of my points when I played were assisted. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I remember that.
I knew my job. I just featuring. That's it. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, okay.
If you're a feature guy in the NBA right now, do you know what you make?
A lot more than you made.
Well, do you know what you make if you're a role player now? It's not that bad. Minimum for like a 10-year guy is like almost $3 million.
Yeah.
It's fine. Just featuring is not that bad of a thing.
No, it's not. So I'm just trying to rise your star, man. I'm just trying to rise your star.
I'm good.
I'm here for you.
I got to stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane. All right. DJ Wilson of the Milwaukee Bucks, first round draft pick in 2017. He joins us here at Fuel Cafe. Let's hear it for DJ Wilson.
Appreciate you.
There you go. A little love for DJ Wilson. I mean, you know how much these guys are making in the NBA. You're just waiting to get to that first big payday, aren't you?
Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
A few more years.
Yeah, man. That's all it is. Just counting down the time at this point. Okay, so first things first. People are kind of freaking out a little bit. And thankfully, I'm not one of them. Not for both games. For the last two games. The Phoenix game, look, I know. First time you lost, same team twice. Two-game losing streak, all that. Whatever. I don't even care about that. For me, it was just everybody just shot the ball bad at the same time, and that's going to happen, whether it's a regular season game or a playoff game. There's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, no, exactly. It was just one of those games. Pretty much everybody was in a slump. You know, you play 82 games, you're going to have at least one of those, and that just happened to be that night. So it's nothing to, you know, dwell about.
How did the West Coast trip treat you guys? You guys get out to see anything? I mean, I didn't see you on TMZ like Giannis, but yeah.
No, the weather was great. Spent a few days in Phoenix right before the game, and then we stayed the night. So, you know, we try to soak up as much sun as possible.
You should, because there's not much here to soak up.
And Coach Bud, he does do a really good job. We were just talking about the way he manages the trips. And when you're in Phoenix, it just happens to be an off day. He kind of, not rewards, but I think he has the perspective of it. There's a Miami trip coming up. There's a couple days before. DJ, I don't know if you appreciate maybe having a day off in a nice – warm place, especially around right now when everyone here is thinking
wait.
Spring break.
So what are you saying? Like a day off in Minneapolis isn't as good as a day off in Miami? Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Everybody here in Wisconsin, when it's that spring break time, when it gets that February, March, there's not a lot of, hey, where are you going? I'm going to Minneapolis. I love Minneapolis. I actually love Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Live here, but it is kind of nice to hit a little Florida.
It is.
Close to an ocean, DJ.
Yeah, I mean, you play in Michigan. You know all about cold weather. This isn't anything new for you.
No, it's not new, but then again, I'm from California, so I do appreciate the sun.
You do appreciate the warm weather. You know, they really worked on this year on the NBA schedule, trying to take out as many back-to-back games as they've had in the years past. They've taken out like three or four, whatever it may be, throughout the year. I've always thought if you're coming from the East or the Midwest or the West Coast, that's where you absolutely should not have those back-to-backs. Do you agree with me on that as far as going forward?
Yeah, I do. And then at the same time, you know, the time change and everything takes an effect too. So, you know, I do think it would kind of be more efficient if the back-to-backs were somewhere closer to home. So.
Yeah, back-to-back in Chicago and Detroit. Short plane flight, something like that. Yeah. That makes more sense.
Well, and on this last trip, like you talked about, I like that we just kind of skimmed over the fact that they lost two in a row. I thought we were melting down because we had lost two in a row. One of them.
Who's we?
Fan
base?
There's been a few radio shows.
I've been
on a lot of people talking, saying, oh, my gosh, two in a row. What's happening? Are they losing momentum? Are they okay? But now one of them was a back-to-back, right?
Yeah.
Utah after L.A. got in at 3 a.m. And I thought that performance, DJ, you can speak to this, but against the Utah Jazz up by 17 in the fourth quarter and then losing stinks.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I thought, how did you guys feel afterwards? I feel like there's not moral victories for this group, but it wasn't like you laid a complete egg.
Right. I mean, we were up 17, like you said, in the fourth with, I think, 10 minutes left. So, you know, the fight and the energy was there. We just, you know, didn't finish the job. And that's something that you can learn from. And, you know, it's better to happen now than, you know, later on down the road.
What are these timeouts like in games now, comparing Budenholzer versus, say, Jason Kidd when he was here, as far as how huddles are run in timeouts and the conversations that happen in those huddles?
I think it kind of depends on how we played right up until that timeout. Coach Bud, you know, he likes to instill a lot of confidence in us. So he's telling us to shoot the ball every time out when we're open. But, you know, he doesn't like the way we're playing. He thinks we're playing lazy. He'll let us know. So, I mean, they're kind of different. But at the same time, I think they both did a great job, instilling confidence.
And do you appreciate, I think, you know, like Sparky's kind of alluding to, when we watch those timeouts, I think sometimes you see that Coach Bud, he's got that fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's coming at you. He's letting you guys know. You can tell right away he thinks you did something wrong or you weren't in position. And other times it's almost like the timeouts are you guys are just sitting there relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in, says, all right, fellas, go back out there, keep it going. Do you appreciate it being that he can really come at you guys and talk to you in a certain way?
Yeah.
Or would you prefer, I guess, that it be a little bit softer? Do you like the way that he handles those huddles and is direct with you guys?
No, I love being straight up front, being direct. I think we all do. And, we've been playing well since, he's came to, the organization and everything. So if he continues to do what, he does, I think, the sky's the limit for us.
Okay, so you said all this good stuff about Budenholzer, and that's fine. But now let's cut to the chase here. Let's cut to your season, because your season has been kind of helter-skelter with your playing time. I mean, you're in the G League one day. The next day, you're part of the main rotation. Next day, and all of a sudden, now you're kind of falling out of the rotation as they continue to acquire guys. And now they got another big in Pau Gasol. How have you handled that mentally? Because that has got to be a challenge.
Yeah. I think the coaching staff and my vets, they do a great job in telling me, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. And so that's kind of, what I live by and what I play by. So, like you said, I was in the G League in the beginning, recovering from a hamstring injury. And then I kind of just got thrown in the fire and I was ready. And now we have a couple more pickups and whatnot. So, I'm going to do what I've always been doing and, stay ready. So.
And you spoke of the herd in Oshkosh and the G League a little bit. What is it like, I guess, playing, for the herd and going down to Oshkosh? I know when I played in the NBA, I was in the G League at two different times, or at that time it was the D League.
Mm-hmm.
I played in the D League at two different times, and it was very much a demotion. You felt like you were being sent down somewhere, and you were no longer good enough. How has it been for you to be able to go and get those minutes and play for the herd?
It's been great, especially this year. Like I said, coming off my injury, it was good to, go out there, get my feet back underneath me. Kind of get my wind up, touch the ball a little bit, run up and down the floor, compete with those guys because they love to hoop. So, it was a great experience.
The other thing, too, when we talk about that league, having a team this close to you now, like the herd is, versus having to go to some other state and make all that travel, I would assume makes it a lot easier for guys to make that, get in the car, drive there, come back. You're not getting on a plane going back and forth all the time. That has to be a huge benefit to you guys.
Yeah. My rookie year was the first year that, the Oshkosh herd was there. And I remember talking to Rashad Vaughn last year, and he said when he was on assignment, I think he had to fly to somewhere in Texas for like a day and then fly back for a game. And he said it was crazy. So, I'm very much appreciative.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, talking about the herd there, how has the support been there so far for that G League team? Are they showing up and supporting that team?
Yeah, definitely. And I keep hearing while I'm up here that every game is being sold out.
Nice.
So, they show a lot of love.
When we talk about you now going forward, I put it out there on Twitter. Use the hashtag AskDJ. I did this afternoon. So one of the questions from Hanson is, what areas of your game, DJ, have you focused on improving the most since you entered the league?
One area, I think, you know, there's a lot. My shooting, from defending. But I think even off the court, in the weight room, just adding size, getting stronger, more athletic, so you can compete at a high level with these guys.
And did you know, I mean, I think, you know, watching you last year, watching you this year, and seeing you emerge really in December, it seemed like, as a Bucks fan, people knew who you were. They saw you get picked 17th last year, and you were hurt a little bit. You would play a little bit, but they didn't really, I think, know who you were. And then all of a sudden in December, it was like you come in and you're guarding Blake Griffin. You're scoring 9 points, getting 10 rebounds in those games. Then it was like the next game, you're getting a double-double. You're guarding Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. You're guarding Hassan Whiteside. You're being put on these assignments where it's the best player on the other team, and they're saying, hey, DJ, we haven't seen a ton of you, but go out here and guard the best player, and you're doing a heck of a job. Was that something where in practice you felt like you were proving yourself? Coach Bud was seeing who you were, but as the fans, maybe we weren't getting as much of a glimpse, because it seemed like you kind of came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden you're guarding the best player on the other team.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like I said, just the work that I put in up until that point, and, you know, I still am. The summer work, the preseason work, and then, you know, it helps guarding guys every day like Chris and Giannis. So when, you know, that opportunity does come, when you have to guard the Blake Griffins, the Anthony Davis, you know you're ready.
And talk about guarding Giannis in practice all the time. Like you said, it's good, obviously, prep to go against guys like Blake Griffin and stuff like that, but as a guy who's with Giannis every day and you get to practice against him and just see how good he is, how helpful is that for you to go against a guy like that and really be his matchup a lot of times in practice?
No, it's everything. You know, I try to soak up as much as I can, try to take as many tips and learn as much as I can. You know, guarding an MVP caliber type player every day, not everybody can say that they're doing that. So I try to just allow it to help prepare me.
And going forward, just say the MVP. You don't have to throw caliber on at the end of it. Just say guarding the MVP every day in practice. That's what you have to do. As far as chemistry-wise on this team, we've all heard that the chemistry is really, really good on this basketball team. Who are your guys that you like to roll with on those off days?
On the off days? I don't think we really have a lot of cliques on the team. I think we're all pretty, you know, youthful, young. We all like to hang out. But, I mean, a few guys, probably Malcolm, Chris, Bled, G. Hill. It's kind of a mixed group.
Wait a second. You said Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah.
Young dude. Middleton. Bledsoe. And then the old guy?
G. Hill.
Did you say G. Hill?
Yeah, G. Hill.
How does he fit into all you? Like, how does that all work?
He's a vet.
He's a vet, but he, you know, you got to hang around a vet.
He knows where all the good places are on the road. Is that
exactly
what it is?
Yeah.
He's the tour guide?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can believe that. Absolutely. Hey, it is the Milwaukee Basketball Hour, featuring Steve Novak, presented by UP and Abraham. Here in person is DJ Wilson, Bucks first-round draft pick 2017 at Fuel Cafe on 5th Street. If you're in the area, come on down, have some dinner, have a couple of beverages, watch what they have on TV here as well. We'll come back if you have a question. Again, for DJ Wilson, come on up. Tell us what the question is. We'll get it on the air for you, too. And also, don't forget, thanks to all of our great show sponsors that we have, just a couple of them, UP and Abraham, Baker Tilly, Cousin Subs, the Tavern at Turner Hall, Baird Private Wealth Management. A lot of great sponsors to make this show possible. Our thanks to you. Back after this with the Milwaukee Basketball Hour.
Yeah, the best get even better. Hubie and Abraham has been voted best.
At Cousin Subs, we possess a style uniquely our own. Like a mom and pop shop, authentic to the root. You can taste it in the fruit. Started in Milwaukee and we have come a long way. We are here to grow and we are here to stay. Grilled to order just for you. At Cousin Subs, that's just what we do. So order online at CousinSubs.com. And now, delivery available at select locations. Cousin Subs. Believe in better.
Imagine you and your friends tailgating at sea with your favorite Green Bay players. This is not just a cruise. This is a Green Bay Legends cruise. Visit GreenBayLegendsCruise.com and book now to save 10% with promo code 2020.
Yeah, the best get even better. Hubie and Abraham has been voted best year after year. Even top media outlets are now voting them best personal injury law firm.
Hupie and Abraham. Power. Resources.
And experience.
And there was never a fee until they won for me.
A good lawyer shouldn't cost you more. They should get you more.
Hupie and Abraham.
Voted best. Rated best.
Call 800-800-5678. Hupie and Abraham. Voted best personal injury law firm.
It's back. Don't miss the third annual Donald Driver Charity Softball Game presented by Network Health, July 27th in Appleton. Get your tickets now to watch Donald Driver and his Green Bay teammates take the field all for a good cause. Tickets to the Donald Driver Charity Softball Game are available by phone at 800-WI-TIMBER, in person at the Fox City Stadium box office, or online at www.timberrattlers.com. Get your tickets today. They make a great gift.
Paint? No. Paramount isn't just paint. It's the number one paint in overall interior hide and stain resistance, providing the most advanced protection in just one coat. And now you can get that same outstanding protection with our new Paramount One Coat White. This first-of-its-kind one-coat ready mix white provides a beautiful white finish. You'll find Paramount paint exclusively at Menards. In third-party tests, interior paint claims versus super premium home center brands in eggshell sheen.
Right now at Menards, get 11% off everything, including Pittsburgh Paramount paint.
It's back. Wisconsin's favorite hunting, fishing, camping, and adventure show for 79 years. The Journal Sentinel Sports Show, presented by Chevy Silverado. It's happening March 6th through the 10th at the State Fair Park Expo Center. Everything outdoors will be celebrated indoors. Something for every outdoor sports enthusiast. From those who love fishing, hunting, and camping, to those who get outdoors to enjoy kayaking, boating, and hiking. 5 days of great Wisconsin outdoor fun and adventure. Buy the latest hunting and fishing gear from hundreds of exhibitors and plan your next vacation. Check out fishing and bow hunting seminars, catch a lumberjack show, or choose your next boat at the Mercury Marine Boating Pavilion. Learn from the grilling experts Mad Dog and Merrill at the Usinger's Outdoor Grilling Stage. As always, kids under 12 get in free, so bring the whole family. March 6th through the 10th at the State Fair Park Expo Center. Don't miss the Journal Sentinel Sports Show, presented by Chevy Silverado. For tickets and details, visit jssportshow.com. That's jssportshow.com.
When hunger knocks, don't let the party stop. Bring Cousin Subs with you. The party boxes boom with quality ingredients and seasonings. Your taste buds deserve to celebrate too. From main course to treats, focus on family and friends as you gather to feast. Don't take our word for it. Taste and see. Enjoy the party. Leave the rest to us. Order online at CousinSubs.com. And now, delivery available at select locations. Cousins Catering. Believe in better.
Imagine you and your friends tailgating at sea with your favorite Green Bay players. This is not just a cruise. This is a Green Bay Legends cruise. Visit GreenBayLegendsCruise.com and book now to save 10% with promo code 2020.
You know the score when you wake up, but there's always more to the story. Chuck and Winkler, morning 6 to 10 on The Fan.
It's the Milwaukee Basketball Hour featuring Steve Novak, presented to you by Hupie and Abraham here at Fuel Cafe on 5th Street. Come on down. Say hi. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here filling in for Bill Michaels. DJ Wilson over there, first-round draft pick of the Milwaukee Bucks in 2017. Here talking to everybody, taking pictures with people, doing the whole thing. I got to ask you this. When do you get used to that? Like, when do you get used to, because, you know, most of us aren't famous people. So, when do you get used to the whole, hey, let me get your picture, hey, let me get your autograph?
I think when I was at Michigan, going to a big university like just being around, you know, the city of Ann Arbor, and then making our tournament runs. You know.
So that was really where it all started for you.
Yeah.
How about back in high school?
A little bit, not so much. I was kind of low, under the radar type of guy.
You broke your back in high school?
Yeah, I did it twice. Yeah.
Twice?
Yeah, both sides.
How?
Kind of just a stress fracture. The first time I went up for a rebound, I landed, and I felt some, like, a little tweak. And then I kept playing on it, and eventually went to the doctors. They said I had a stress fracture in my L5. And then I was in a cast from my chest to, like, my pelvis for 23 hours a day for 3 months. And then
that didn't help the social life.
No, not at all. And it was during, and it was during the summer in California, so it was terrible. And then somehow, some way, the next year I did the same thing to the other side. But I'm all good now. I'm all good.
That's good, man. Yeah. I read that and I was like, holy cow. Yeah. So that really kind of screwed up the whole recruiting aspect for you then.
Right. I set out pretty much 2 years of high school and 2 years of AAU. So I only had, I think, a tournament at AAU from my junior to senior year, or my sophomore to senior year. And luckily, you know, I've made some noise in the tournament and
right.
the rest of history.
And then I read that you're the first Sacramento kid to go to a Big Ten school?
I think so.
First one?
Yeah, I was told that in high school. Yeah.
Well, the West Coast, man.
Yeah.
So, really, I mean, that's a pretty cool thing, too, to go along with everything else.
Right. And I think kind of after the injuries, some Pac-12 schools had fallen off. But, you know, Beeline and Michigan was there, so can't complain.
What about those boys now? What do you think about those Michigan? What are they,
number
two?
Seven?
Yeah,
number seven now. They lost a couple tough ones, but, you know, it's the beginning. I think, you know, during the tournament run is when Beeline's at his best. So I think we'll go all the way.
Can I ask you both this question? As a college basketball fan, the regular season's nice. But, I mean, it's not like college football where one loss can kind of screw everything up. Two losses and you're definitely done at that point. Mm-hmm. College basketball, the regular season, just kind of like you just said. He just said it. DJ Wilson just said it. That's the beginning. It's not the beginning. The regular season's almost over, but it's the beginning of the real time when you get into the NCAA tournament. As players, do you think the same way when you're at a university that's known for going to the tournament every year, like, well, Marquette was for when you were there and Michigan was?
For me, I do. I mean, I think, you know, you try to win every game, but it's not like football where you have to be playing your best football, you know, the entire season, because that one loss can affect your bowl chances. Basketball, you can take a couple L's. You just got to play well in March, and, you know, you can make a run.
What about you? I mean, you had Crane, so.
Yeah, no. I mean, we went to the Final Four when I was a freshman, but for me, that run was, as a freshman, you don't really know if the first game is important or the last game is important. I didn't really know what was happening in my life until the season was over. Obviously, like you're saying, as you've gone through a college season and you realize how fun and important the postseason is, it builds towards it. But for me, my longest run was going to that Final Four, and my head was spinning. I was on the team with D. Wade and Travis Diener and Rob Jackson and Scott Merritt, and I was, like, the whole year just trying to figure out if I was good enough to even – I felt like play college basketball. So I think you figure it out once you've gone through it a time or two. But early on, it's you have no idea what the NCAA tournament is, I think, until you're either have been in it or – You're done.
So is it sometimes the inexperience, if you got a younger team in the tournament, does that sometimes help you because you don't really know what the heck is going on half the time, or does it work against you if you have a younger team in the tournament?
I mean, if you got a coach like DJ had in college, I think there's some teams that seem like when they've got that right guy, Coach Beeline, Coach Calipari, they can just get their squads to win. It's almost like you're saying, whether they know it's important or not, it can be a good thing. But, I mean, I think – in college experience, especially at this point where so many guys are leaving and they're being, you know, second, third, fourth year guys playing, I think it's a huge advantage. What do you think?
Definitely. I think so too. But at the same time, you know, having coaches like Beeline and the other top coaches in the country, you kind of go through those growing pains in the beginning of the year. And then by the time March, April rolls around, you know, you kind of get out all the kinks and start playing, you know, the basketball that you should be.
Talking with DJ Wilson of the Bucks and, of course, Steve Novak here as well. It is the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. So let me take this a step farther then. So now, for you at least, well, for both of you really, at what point during the season where you're thinking, all right, I'm going to the NBA draft, I got a chance to play at the league, at what point does that become a distraction? Does it become a distraction, especially like when, say, you get into the NCAA tournament, and now I view it as a fan as, okay, this is where we're going to make our money here. If you have a big tournament, you could probably go a few slots higher. Does it become a distraction?
Nah, if anything, I believe it's just an added motivation like you've never had before. Personally speaking, I think around – March, when we made the Big Ten tournament run and we won it, and then going into the tournament is kind of when I started playing my best basketball. So I was just motivated because I knew that's, you know, when all the lights were on, that's when you can really showcase your abilities and show everybody, you know, the type of player you are.
What about you, Steve?
Well, DJ was a better college player. He was better earlier in college than I certainly was. I played all 4 years. And, you know, I think for me, I don't think I was on many draft radars as a junior. And so as a senior, I mean, it was a push towards the tournament. And for me, I think the looking back, the time that I kind of remember the first NBA thought and talk? Of course, it was always your dream, and that was a goal that you worked towards, but Bo Ellis came up to me after UConn game, and I had a good game, and he came up to me, and he said, he put his arm around me, and he said, "Son, you made some money tonight." And I didn't really know exactly what he meant, but looking back, I obviously realized he said he was meaning there were scouts there. You played well.
Right.
You are most likely going to get drafted off of that performance. So for me, it wasn't like I had ever really realized I had made it before I heard my name called at the draft.
How does the intensity change, say, NBA playoffs versus, say, NCAA tournament? Is it similar?
No. The NBA is a whole another level. It's a whole another monster. It's way more physical. And then, you know, it's NBA caliber players from top to bottom. So
absolutely. See, and that's the one thing. I mean, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here, but, I mean, Bucks fans are so jacked right now for you all, right? Mm-hmm. Best record in the NBA, all that. And today, on our afternoon show in Milwaukee, we did a topic. Like, what makes this year a success for you as a fan? Like, what is it for you? Now, I'll tell you what I said. I said, well, I've been a loser Bucks fan most of my life. Haven't been out of the first round of the playoffs as a fan since Glenn Robinson and Sam Cassell and Ray Allen were here. So for me, just get out of the first round, I'm good. Whatever happens after that, I'm happy with. And I said before the season, I don't care about regular season games anymore. I just want to advance in the playoffs. Because normally in the NBA, it's baby steps. Like, you advance so far one year, you come back, now you get over the next hurdle. Very rarely do you go from not doing much all the way to the finals. It's been done, but not often. So then we have this whole other group of fans, which are the majority. I'm definitely the minority on this one. Mm-hmm. The other group of fans were just saying, hey, man, we don't at least get to the NBA Finals. We're the number one seed in the East. Dude, that's not going to work. Like, I'm going to be mad. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that to be true. Like, I cannot believe that you're going to have the MVP, the coach of the year, the executive of the year, and everybody's going to be like, yeah, that wasn't all that good because what happened in the playoffs? I don't buy that. But from your standpoint as a player, knowing how difficult it is, and how the intensity changes in the postseason, is it truly like two different seasons? Like, okay, yeah, we were great in the regular season, but like you said, postseason, it changes. Mm-hmm. The light switch turns on, not just for you all, but right. for everybody else.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's hard beating a team in seven games four times that you see, you know, every other day.
I got you sweeping in the first round, no pressure. Go ahead.
But, you know, I think our goal is to make it further than we did last year.
Right.
And I think we have enough talent to make it even further than that. But, you know, you got to take it one step at a time, one game at a time. And I think that's what we're doing.
I do think it is two seasons. And there's no question. I was on a San Antonio Spurs team where we were the number one seed in the West going into the playoffs. The San Antonio Spurs, they win championships.
Yes, they do.
We were the one seed. We lost to the Memphis Grizzlies, who was the eighth seed. It is two different seasons. You can have an unbelievable year and it means nothing. I think that's why a lot of times when we've asked these guys that have come on and you talk to Coach Bud, what are your goals? Are you guys trying to win a championship this year? It has never been about we're going to win a championship, we're going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. It has always, if you, I think, read between the lines, has been about the systems that they're doing on a day-to-day basis, the work they're putting in, the way that they're treating this season like a marathon. It's not a goal-based year. Every single team in this league has the goal of winning a championship.
But wait a second.
It's the teams, though, that put the correct work in, have the right systems, have the right pieces that are able to achieve those. I think that is, looking at it, in my opinion, Coach Bud's philosophy. Put in the work. Get better every day. Learn from wins, losses, road trips that are good, that are bad.
Right.
And at the end, if we've monitored their minutes, if we've done the right things, if we're healthy, we'll be in the best position.
See, for me, and we don't know – Coach Budenholzer in the playoffs yet. DJ doesn't know. Nobody knows how he's going to change or whatever is going to happen in the playoffs. But how was it last year with Coach Prunty there in the postseason? Was it same philosophy, same mentality from the coaching staff in the postseason, nothing really changed just because you were in the playoffs? Or did you notice a change in intensity and things changed in the postseason?
Yeah, definitely a change in, you know, intensity and the focus, just, you know, slightly. And then I think he kind of cracked down on the rotation too. So, you know, a few players that were playing in the last few games of the regular season didn't see the court, you know, in the playoffs. So,
and that's got to be tough, no, right, for those guys that were playing?
Yeah, but at the same time, you never know what can happen. Injuries, somebody's playing bad, so, you know, you just got to stay ready.
Absolutely. All right, we'll take a quick time out here. Come back. I want to ask him about the additions, Mirotić, Gasol, and how much that veteran leadership very well could mean for this team
Oh, yeah.
in the postseason. These guys have won in the postseason. in the past. I think it means a lot, but we'll see what DJ Wilson and Steve Novak think. Thanks to some more of our sponsors, Green Bay Legends Cruise, the Tavern at Turner Hall, Cousin Subs, obviously, Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of Wisconsin, too. And don't forget, the Cousin Subs Sub of the Week goes to Nico Mirotic, who put up 13 points, 7 boards of steal, and 2 blocks against the Phoenix Suns. We'll talk more about him coming up next on the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. Welcome back. It is the Milwaukee Basketball Hour featuring Steve Novak, presented to you by Yuppie and Abraham, soon to be the Steve Novak Show. Tune in next year. We'll have the name change. Also sitting here, Bill Michaels won't care. I'm Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. DJ Wilson, Bucks first-round pick over there from the 2017 draft. Before the break, we talked about a couple of these guys that have been added to this roster since the beginning of the year. You brought up G. Hill just in talking about guys you hang out with. Let's talk about him first, I guess. Mm-hmm. What has he meant to that locker room? Obviously, he's banged up and hurt right now, but what has he meant from a veteran standpoint?
I think he means everything. He brings a lot. He's a vocal leader on and off the floor. He's made those playoff runs in Indiana.
Yep.
So he brings that experience definitely to the locker room.
How about Mirotić? How's he fit in?
He was great. He's another guy. He's played in the playoffs, and his ability to stretch the floor and shoot the ball, and just add that size and versatility. Greatly appreciated.
You know, that's the one thing, again, as a fan, I'm speaking. When you see him say things like, I felt like I won the lottery to Pau Gasol, as a fan, you just fall off your chair and be like, am I in a different city? Like, what happened? Because mm-hmm. that's never was said. But I think part of it is obviously the coaching staff, which he points to. But the other thing are the facilities that you guys get to practice and play in.
Right. They're top of the line. We go around the league to other facilities and arenas, and I can say that we have the best one, both practice and game arena. And I think it also speaks to our the culture that we have and him fitting in well and just admiring that. So,
And in terms of, like you saying, when Pau talked to Nico.
Yeah.
And Nico said, I feel like I won the lottery. I'm in such a good place. Yes, facilities, yes, winning, all those things. But, I'm speaking as a player. I always felt like the thing that I looked for, that I hoped for and prayed for more than a facility, more than anything else, was an opportunity mm-hmm. to play for a coach that would give me an opportunity, believe in the way that I played and what I could do, and to put me out there. Do you feel like Coach Bud has been that, not just for you, but mm-hmm. essentially for all the guys in the team? Has he given guys opportunities to be who they are?
I think so. His biggest thing is playing to our strengths as players. And he, like I said before, he instills the utmost confidence in us. And he lets us know every time out, every practice, what we're capable of doing. And, he tries to emphasize that as much as possible.
Now Pau Gasol.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously you guys haven't had Pau Gasol around very long to this point. But, right. That guy's been an NBA Finals MVP. He's got rings, mm-hmm. played with Kobe and Phil Jackson, all that stuff. I would have to imagine that's going to be a big presence for you guys, too.
Definitely. The few days that he's been here, I've worked out with him. I've talked to him a whole bunch. And, I tried to soak up as much as possible because you don't, come across guys like that very often in this league. Like you said, 6-time NBA All-Star, 2-time champ. So, yeah.
I want to go back to something you just said. So, back when Kidd was here and all this, right, and he'd bring in Kevin Garnett, mm-hmm. John Stockton. He arranges for this conversation between Kobe and Giannis and this whole deal that people talk about. And now you talk about Pau Gasol being in your facility and working with you. What's the best way to ask this? As a young player, are you surprised when these older players that are as good as these guys are that I'm talking about are willing to kind of share their knowledge with you so freely, I guess, the way these guys have been?
No, not really. But I remember talking to Malcolm about it yesterday because we were just sitting there and we were watching Pau's highlights on YouTube. And we were just admiring the fact of how good of a player he was and kind of in awe of just like we get to be around his presence every day. And like I said, you just try to soak up as much as possible because guys like that, you don't come across very often.
Oh, and I doubt it's a coincidence, though, Sparky, that those guys that are 38 years old, that have won championships, that are in this league, that are taking buyouts from the San Antonio Spurs to come and be on the Milwaukee Bucks.
Think about what you just said.
I know. The last time there was a big buyout market signing in Milwaukee, it's I can't really think of it. But it's not coincidence that those guys that are still in the league for that long and are coming to a team to try to win a ring, I think, are the ones willing to sit down and talk to DJ, talk to Malcolm, talk to whoever the young guys on those teams are. And I think this league, and it doesn't get seen enough, is full of so many guys who go about things in the right way. They are such knowledgeable dudes that are willing to share and pass things down. And I think that when you walk the back hallways of an NBA arena and you speak to somebody, and if they've been in this league for 5, 6, 7 years, they are almost every single time an incredible guy who is there for a reason. They're a worker. They're willing to be a great teammate. There's not that many stars in this league. You've got to be able to play your role, and I think it's amazing to hear. I think not only that's who Powell is and has spoken to you guys that way, but also to your credit and to Malcolm's credit, you guys sat down. I love it. You watch YouTube. You watched his clips, and you're like, it's amazing to be in his presence. Not, you know, when you're a young guy, a lot of times you maybe think, I'm the man. I got it figured out.
Right.
I love that you're watching his clips going, definitely, we know how special this guy is, and he's in our presence, and they're going to pick his mind, which I think is big time.
Well, not to mention the fact that, you know, you get to practice against him, whatever, and he can help you with, all right, maybe you do this time. Maybe you look for this pass here, whatever. I mean, it's all of that stuff that you're going to get out of it too.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the awesome thing. All right, quickly here. I just want to go over some of the teams in the East. Just give me a couple words where you go, okay, they may provide an issue. They do this really well, okay? Toronto Raptors, what do they do really well that if you were to see them in the playoffs, that could be an issue?
They're versatile. I think 1 through 5, they have a lot of playmakers.
Let's go to the Boston Celtics.
Kyrie.
yeah, no, it is. It's kind of based on Kyrie, isn't it?
Kyrie.
It
had the snake, and now, you know, they have Gordon Hayward back, who we didn't
went
see
off
last
like
year.
31 last night or something like that.
Yeah,
they had a big game last night. Philadelphia 76ers.
I think they're talented. You know, they have 4 all-stars, if you're counting Tobias, who I think should
have been an all-star.
Should have been an all-star.
Yeah.
So they're extremely talented.
Don't bring up Tobias Harris around Bucks fans because they're going to get upset about that trade for J.J. Redick years ago. It never ends well. it just doesn't. I'm still bitter. Then let's talk about the Indiana Pacers. Who's up next for you guys?
Gritty. Tough. Defensive-minded. They always kind of seem to give us issues. So
they give everybody issues. Right. Like when Oladipo went down, I was like, okay, don't got to worry about them anymore. Check them off. But there they go. They get Wes Matthews. And you know, Wes Matthews, and again, I'm the guy on the radio going, Wes Matthews, probably don't have a bunch left. I don't know if I really want him on the buyout market. He just walks right in, starts, and they just keep winning basketball games.
No, the Pacers are, they're, like DJ's saying, I mean, Coach McMillan, it's like if you ask any of the guys on the team, Coach McMillan's done such a good job. If someone asks him after the game, what could you have done better? What went wrong? Why did you lose? It's always a defensive answer. They're like, we could have got more stops. We, you know, we weren't physical enough. We weren't doing this. And like you said, Vic Oladipo goes down, and it seemed like, season's over. They lost 4 in a row, and then they won 6 in a row. And I think over their last 8 for Indiana, they've pretty much won, lost every other for 8 straight games. So I really don't know who the Pacers are at this point, but Bogdanovich is averaging 27 points a game the last 5 games. So
that's crazy.
Should be an interesting one tomorrow night.
Yeah, that is absolutely crazy, no doubt about it. DJ, one other thing here. We did this Ask DJ thing on Twitter using the hashtag. This is from Chris. Best album in 2018. Best album. So last year.
Nipsey Hussle, Victory Lap, for sure.
You heard it.
Nah, not for sure. I mean, it's a close one with J. Cole, KOD, but I'd have to take a Victory Lap.
Did you get to spend some time with J. Cole when?
I did.
In the studio?
Yep, we did. And then, And then when he came out here during Summerfest was the first time. I said, what's up, met him, and then in Atlanta.
It's not that bad being an NBA guy.
That's what I'm saying. So, if you're not an NBA guy, you're probably not having that conversation with them.
You're probably not.
So, what do you think of Summerfest?
I enjoyed it. It was my first time actually going to a concert, so I seen artist Trippie Redd and then J. Cole come out, and, you know, it was a great experience.
Trippie who?
Trippie Redd.
Redd?
Yeah, Trippie Redd.
Hey, man, who knows who Trippie Redd is? Raise your hand. Oh, y'all lying. Y'all don't know who he is. Y'all are just making it up, man. Ain't nobody knew who Trippie Redd is. Get out of here. Hey, all right, we'll come back. The commissioner of the NBA has some ideas I'm not sure any of them are good, but Steve Novak wants to talk about it, and we feature Steve Novak on this show. So we'll talk about that coming up next with Bucks first-round draft pick DJ Wilson, who's hanging out with us out here for the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. Fuel Cafe on 5th. Got about 15 minutes left. Come hang out with us.
Hubie and Abraham doesn't just talk about getting maximum cash for their clients. They've collected over $1 billion for them.
They got me a lot of money.
Way more than I was told I'd get.
$250,000.
$850,000.
$100,000.
All the money I deserved.
Way more than what I expected.
Injured in an accident? Call the firm voted best. Call Hupie and Abraham, 800-800-5678. And get their win or its free guarantee.
At Cousin Subs, we possess a style uniquely our own. Like a mom and pop shop, authentic to the root. You can taste it in the fruit. Started in Milwaukee and we have come a long way. We are here to grow and we are here to stay. Grilled to order just for you. At Cousin Subs, that's just what we do. So order online at CousinSubs.com. And now, delivery available at select locations. Cousin Subs, believe in better.
Imagine you and your friends tailgating at sea with your favorite Green Bay players. This is not just a cruise. This is a Green Bay Legends cruise. Visit GreenBayLegendsCruise.com and book now to save 10% with promo code 2020.
It's back. Don't miss the third annual Donald Driver Charity Softball Game presented by Network Health, July 27th in Appleton. Get your tickets now to watch Donald Driver and his Green Bay teammates take the field all for a good cause. Tickets to the Donald Driver Charity Softball Game are available by phone at 800-WI-TIMBER, in person at the Fox City Stadium box office, or online at www.timberrattlers.com. Get your tickets today. They make a great gift.
Wayne Larrabee, my instant replay remote lets us rewind back to the middle of winter.
Gina Della from Pella, my kitchen was freezing.
We can also fast forward. Pella changed all that with installation in as little as a day.
Comfy and cozy.
Fast forward to summer.
Just as comfortable, and with energy bills down year-round, they'll pay for themselves.
Plus, right now, listeners get 0% APR financing for 36 months.
Make the call now to Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Visit PellaWI.com.
To qualify, credit restrictions apply.
When hunger knocks, don't let the party stop. Bring Cousin Subs with you. The party boxes boom with quality ingredients and seasonings. Your taste buds deserve to celebrate too. From main course to treats, focus on family and friends as you gather to feast. Don't take our word for it. Taste and see. Enjoy the party. Leave the rest to us. Order online at CousinSubs.com. And now, delivery available at select locations. Cousins Catering. Believe in better.
Imagine you and your friends tailgating at sea with your favorite Green Bay players. This is not just a cruise. This is a Green Bay Legends cruise. Visit GreenBayLegendsCruise.com and book now to save 10% with promo code 2020.
No topic is taboo on the Wendy's Big Show. You never know what you'll hear. It's the Wendy's Big Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on The Fan.
Welcome back. It's the Milwaukee Basketball Hour featuring Steve Novak, presented by Hupie and Abraham here at Fuel Cafe on South 5th Street. Make sure to stop on out, say hi. And if you've never been here before, delicious food. Nice bar area as well. They got the Marquette game on out here. Everybody's gathered around the bar listening to the show and watching Marquette basketball. Hupie and Abraham injury report. George Hill hasn't played in a while due to a groin injury. Bucks hopefully get him back in the lineup soon. DiVincenzo's been out as well. Sterling Brown's been out. And previous to that, Brogdon and Bledsoe, they both missed a game. So they're all dinged up right now. That was a Hupie and Abraham injury report. Injured, call Hupie and Abraham. Call Hupie and Abraham. Voted best, rated best, year after year. It's Hupie and Abraham. All right, Steve Novak, you wanted to talk about the commissioner's comments and ideas that he has because he doesn't like All-Star, the All-Star game, All-Star week, and not a big fan of it.
He's not a big fan. I wanted to ask DJ kind of what he thought as a player because, yeah, Adam Silver had come out and basically said the All-Star game isn't working. He doesn't like it and proposed the possibility of doing like EuroLeague soccer, some of the European basketball, doing instead of the All-Star game a mid-season tournament that would essentially be a bracketed tournament of all the NBA teams, I imagine, and they would do a mid-season cup where you'd have an NBA cup champion and then it would – Your regular season would continue to go on until the playoffs. What are your thoughts on getting rid of the All-Star game, or do you like the All-Star game?
I do, and I like the All-Star events. But, you know, growing up, you kind of see it now. It's kind of just watered down. Even the dunk contest, three-point contest, it's not what it was. Even when you go back and you watch Dominique versus Mike, like, it's on a whole nother level than it is today. So, that's my views on the All-Star game.
Would you be a fan of the proposal of a mid-season NBA tournament to kind of spice it up, make something more important kind of going on in the middle of the year versus and to replace All-Star?
I'd have to look into it and think more about it, because then you would have to go into, you know, what value that holds compared to, you know, a regular NBA championship come postseason. So once they, you know, figure all that out, then kind of can, you know, go in depth and see.
Yeah, because
what do you think? Because I got my opinion, but I want to see what you think.
You know, part of it was he talked about the schedule and the grind of 82-game schedule and being willing to maybe cut the schedule back to 70 games,
right.
But there would be a need to create more revenue somehow to replace those 12 games that were taken up. So a midseason tournament, he was saying, would create more buzz. There would somehow be greater revenue, but teams would each have to give up 6 home games each, and they would somehow get this tournament to somehow create more revenue in the middle of the season. I like the All-Star game. I kind of love the idea, though, of a midseason tournament. I just think because you look at the NCAA tournament, you look at the playoffs, you look at any form of tournament, and it does have a higher level of competition and, I think, more importance than an All-Star game. But the All-Star game is a different thing.
On behalf of the Players Association, we do not want to do this. This is a horrible idea. We're not doing this. And we're not doing it because I don't want my star player or anybody on my team getting hurt in a meaningless middle of the season tournament for the commissioner.
Well, you're going to be playing games anyway. You're playing them in a tournament or you're playing them in the regular season.
No. But if we're going to pull games out and we're going to say, okay, so we're going to go from 82 to 70, I'm not playing that tournament now. Like, if you want to have a little tournament, fine. Then do like a preseason tournament or something. That way, at least, if somebody gets hurt, they still have a chance to come back during the season. You get hurt in February, you very well cost yourself the playoffs with a star player. And second of all, if go further, I think baseball season's too long, I think basketball's too long, I think hockey's too long. If it was me, I'd start the season on Christmas Day, and we play it till end of April, middle of the end of April, and then I'd reduce how long these playoff series were as well. You know, 5 games instead of 7 games or something like that. Because you may not agree, and I'm sorry if you both disagree, but dude, the NFL is king. That's it. And for me, doing sports talk in this town forever, it's always been, yeah, we'll talk about the Bucks when the Packers are done, right? And I'm sure in other NBA cities where there's NFL teams, there's something to that as well. And I think there is something so great about playing on Christmas Day, and you guys got to experience it now. I mean, something so great about that when you launch the season on that day, you have everybody's attention. All right, it's Christmas Day. The NBA kicks off. Here we go. Here are all of our big games. But having said that, I don't want all those crazy back-to-backs like we had in the strike year. I don't want to have 4 or 5 games in a week because I think DJ would agree. Not having all these back-to-backs, I would assume you say your body probably feels better and feels more rested without having the crazy schedule that you've had in the past, right?
I can't really say that because I wasn't playing a whole lot last year.
Well, that's
year,
probably
so.
True. Yeah, okay, I forgot about it. You got me there.
He was well-rested.
Yeah. Right. No, but I mean, from that perspective, though, those back-to-backs, though, probably, I mean, you probably feel it that second game of a back-to-back, especially if you're traveling on that second game.
No, definitely. And picking back off that, I couldn't imagine, you know, having that many or 3 or 4 more added back-to-backs last year compared to this year, because you do feel it. So.
Yeah, there's definitely a point. What else you want to talk about?
No, you know, he had some pretty outlandish comments, and Charles Barkley had recently come out too and said it's some of the craziest thing he's ever heard a commissioner in any sport say, when Adam Silver said he has spoken to so many of the players and he said that there is a general unhappiness among NBA players. And I wanted to kind of separate maybe the conversation a little bit. He was saying in general, players in the NBA are unhappy. There are also players who have mental health issues that have discussed openly Kevin Love, DeMar DeRozan,
yep,
depression and anxiety issues. I think that is one category that the NBA has been amazing about, discussed and done a great job of being open about it. But Adam Silver said that players in general are unhappy. And I was wondering, I've only been out of the league a couple of years, but I recall there not being a happier place on the face of the earth than the NBA, where you were paid more than you could believe. You got to drive awesome cars. You got to fly on the charter. You got to play basketball. And now, as a retired player, now I'm really sad. All I want to do is play. So I can tell you that as a retired person, all you want to do is go back and play. But I want to get your thoughts, DJ, on Adam Silver's comments. Do you think players, he said, are generally unhappy and have anxiety? And a lot of it, he said, is caused by social media and the long schedule of the season?
I think when he says players in general, I kind of think that's a overstatement. I'm not unhappy at all. The players I know, the players I talk to on a daily basis, everybody seems to be happy. So I think, you know, you have your players here and there, like you said, Kevin Love, DeMar, who came out openly about what they're going through. But as a general league, I don't think everybody's unhappy, no.
Hey, look, you guys look like you're having so much fun winning all these games. I just had to be sure.
Right.
I was going to say, you may not be having fun in other cities where you're not winning, but it's fun here in Milwaukee. Hey, man, thanks a lot for coming out. Appreciate it.
No doubt. Appreciate it.
There he is, Milwaukee Bucks forward, DJ Wilson. Let's give him a hand. Here we go. He's Steve Novak. He's the feature here on the Milwaukee Basketball Hour, presented to you by Hupie and Abraham Fuel Cafe in South Fifth Street. Thanks so much for having us out here. Enjoy the rest of your night. It has been the Milwaukee Basketball Hour.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.